Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Democratic representative from Michigan, John Dingleberry, wants to raise gasoline taxes by 50 cents a gallon. 50 cents in addition to the high prices everyone's paying right now. Our church, Denver Bible Church, every couple of years, we try to go to a different country that the stories of the Bible occurred in. So we've gone to Greece and Italy and Turkey and Israel three times. And we went for 3 weeks to Turkey. And what a fabulous time we had studying, following the Apostle Paul's journeys and the seven churches in the book of Revelation that Jesus Christ wrote letters to, and going to the island of Patmos, and just a wonderful time in Ephesus. So at any rate, you also get to spend a lot of time talking to people who live in these countries when we go. Lord willing, by the way, next time we'll take a Bible tour, it will be of Italy. And we hope to study the book of Romans. The theme of the tour will be When in Rome, Study Romans. And Lord willing, we'll go through all 16 chapters of the book of Romans in the Colosseum and in Sicily, and follow there also Paul's journeys and in the catacombs. It'll be just extraordinary. But when we were in Turkey, you talk to the people who live there, and gasoline was $5 a gallon, and it had been that price for some time, and this was a couple years ago. And you talk to people who are poor by American standards, middle class in Turkey and Istanbul and all over the country, and they struggle so terribly. They have a high tax on gasoline, and that's partly because of the dirt worshippers who think that, you know, this oil comes out of the ground and somehow the earth would be happier if the oil stayed in the ground. And so, like, when there's an oil spill and the liberals are horrified, as though you've blasphemed their God by spilling oil, like from the Exxon Valdez. And the earth had the oil on the ground to start with. Well, it was in the ground. And if there's an earthquake, sometimes the oil will spill out. And so there's this tiny oil spill in Alaska, and it's the end of the world, except that 2 years later, for the most part, it's a pristine restoration. So from the Exxon Valdez spill. So at any rate, in Turkey, there's tremendous human suffering because of the poverty. And part of the reason of the poverty is that it's so expensive to buy gasoline. So that you have young Turks who'd like to start a business. Maybe they want to just have a lawn care business. Oh, wait a minute. Do they have lawns? Oh, they have some lawns. Afghanistan, that's a place where they don't have any grass. We need to send them grass seed over there, don't you think, to Afghanistan? So when gasoline is so expensive, if young men who live in Turkey, in Istanbul, if they want to start a business, just a landscaping business, just to fill up their truck and drive around town, and the lawnmowers is so expensive, it's oppressive. And so we have people here like John Dingell, Democrat of Michigan, who wants to increase the price that we all pay for gasoline by 50 cents a gallon. And this has been the dream of the New York Times and so many liberals for many years, to forever increase the taxes on gasoline. Okay, now next story. Last night, Nightline, ABC's Nightline, did a hatchet job on a ministry based right here in Denver, Colorado, BC Tours. Biblically Correct Tours, and we're familiar with BC Tours. We love those guys. In fact, our church, Denver Bible Church, we have gone to the Denver Museum of Nature and Science, and we've taken the tours hosted by BC Tours, Biblically Correct Tours. It's a lot of fun because you see the same exhibits, but the difference is that you hear the explanation of the science there from a Christian biblical worldview. Well, we have on the phone with us, this is exciting. All right, we have Rusty Carter on the line.
Hi, how you doing, Bob?
Good, Rusty. Hey, Rusty, could you tell us what happened with Nightline? They did a hatchet job on you guys.
Well, it's kind of interesting. They came along on a tour a couple weeks ago and videotaped the portion of the tour and then did some interviews afterwards. And what they always do is take sound bites out of context.
Right.
And they try to put a story across that sounds like you're saying something else or a version of something else. And so there was a couple areas where they actually made it look as if we didn't know what we were talking about, when in fact we clarified it later on. So they could have chosen from a better section of sound bites.
Right. For example, radioactive dating for fossils versus dating layer strata with index fossils.
Exactly.
Could you tell the audience how they made it look like you and Bill Jack didn't even know about radioactive dating?
Well, we give the tour of the prehistoric journey section of the museum, and then there's a display or an exhibit that goes over radioactive dating methods, and we talk about that pretty short, but we have an explanation. And on that particular tour, we didn't really spend a lot of time because we were doing a kind of abbreviated version of each exhibit. But Bill did say that they date the rocks with a layer, and then the layer to the rock, and the rock to the layer, and he explained that it's a faulty system.
Right, and that has to do specifically with using index fossils to date. Right. So what did Nightline do with that information?
Right, they made it sound as if we skipped over it, trying to ignore information or facts that might prove evolution or disprove creation.
For example, radioactive dating techniques, they said if he would have just turned around, and then they show an exhibit talking about radioactive dating.
Right. Yeah, they looked. They made it look as if we skipped over it on purpose, and that wasn't the case.
Right.
We have an answer for each exhibit and each of their claims, and good questions to ask.
Right. So that is a hatchet job. That's not coming up to you and Bill Jack with biblically correct tours and saying, okay, what do you guys say about this issue, and then reporting your answer. And then trying to undermine it, they're playing a game like bait and switch, making believe that you're addressing one thing when you're addressing another topic.
Exactly.
And, you know, Pat Robertson, he at one point, well, he probably still does. I know many people do this, like Brian Rohrbach, Columbine Dad. We do this. When we get interviewed by the media, we record the interviews. Now, we don't necessarily tell them that we're recording the interviews, but we record the interviews. And the time and time again, it is such a blatant, intentional misrepresentation with editing or leaving out comments. And it's pretty easy to nail them because they do it all the time.
They do. They have their agenda and they stick to it. And they're going to make creationists and Christians look as if we're ignorant and stupid and we're a faith-based organization when we're really dealing with science versus philosophy.
Mm-hmm. So, Rusty, was there... I only got to read some excerpts of the report. What did they discuss when they talked about the genealogies in the early chapters of Genesis?
Well, that was interesting, too. We were conducting an interview with them a few hours after the actual tour at a hotel location because the museum would refuse to let us stay on their premises doing interviews for ABC. Mm. So we had to go to a different hotel, and when we were talking about the days of creation and the literalness of Genesis, and he kept on asking us about the age of the earth and the years between Adam and after the fall to the day of Noah.
Right.
And it was really a worthless question because it had nothing to do with creationism as far as the literalness of the first 6 days, which is our point. And
they think they'll get an additional laugh out of people when they get us to state what we believe, that the Earth is less than 10,000 years old. So, but, you know, they have their right to press that point, and it's hard in a soundbite to give all the justification. But so what happened with the ages of the patriarchs in Genesis?
Well, they asked us how many years were between those two historical figures, and we gave a good explanation. It was just a little bit confusing at first what he was asking. It was a question, I think, that was manufactured to confuse us. Mm-hmm. And later on, a few minutes later, we went back and gave a clear explanation and a clear outline of that time period. The biggest thing is they can't accept that people might have lived 800 or 900 years old time period.
Right.
And we believe the literalness of the Bible, so that was a laughable point for them.
Rusty, what we do, you know, I've been on the air for 17 years and have done a couple hundred interviews over the years and on ABC about 10 times or so. And what we have often done is before an interview, we've come up with a half a dozen sound bites, and we just keep repeating those, and it gets the reporters really angry because they want to keep – they will talk to you for 3 hours until you trip up, if you pick your nose, if you drool. They'll get a photographer down on the ground and take a picture of you up your nostrils so you look foreboding, and then they'll use the worst.
Right.
And so we get our half a dozen, sometimes only two. We've done interviews a lot with the abortion battle in the last 2 months, and sometimes we've gone to interviews, Will Duffy with the Collaborators Project, me with Colorado Right to Life, with one or two sound bites, and no matter what question they ask, we give them that answer. And then they either have a report or they don't. It's up to them to use it or not. But they are rotten in their hatred for God and God's word.
Yes, that's a very good point. Bill had about three sound bites he kept on saying, and myself, I had about two, and of course they weren't used at all.
Right.
One of those was that the museum is pseudoscience. They don't put forth true scientific evidence, but they put forth artwork and a false sense of science.
Rusty, you gave one of the tours that our church enjoyed, Denver Bible Church, and boy, was it a great time. And thank you for that. It's now a couple years ago, and we're still blessed as a result of Rusty Carter's tour with Biblically Correct BC Tours.
But I'll tell you what, Bob, the group of men you brought through were fantastic because they surrounded the curator after the tour and asked him some great questions he still can't answer to this day.
That was Kirk Johnson, right?
Yes.
He was the curator.
He was on the clip last night on the ABC program.
He was. And I recall asking him, and this was in front of the Colorado Springs Gazette reporter who joined us for that tour. I recall asking him, he sort of became a Pontius Pilate and said, "What is truth?" Because we pointed out one of their exhibits at a child's eye level, they said, they reported as fact that a fish's scale evolved into human teeth. And they said that as fact, as though they had the proof. And so I asked him, "Dr. Johnson, why don't you at least let the kids know that it's a theory? Put a question mark, like, did it happen? You present it as truth, as fact." And he said, "What is truth?" So I asked him a few times if he believed that truth exists, absolute truth, and he said no. He would not affirm that he believed that anything could be true or false ultimately. So then I asked him the question I've asked on the air for 15 years. I asked him, "Well, Kirk, do you exist? Can we start there? Common ground. Do you exist?" And he said, "I don't know." And so here are these guys who are absolutely certain that God did not create the universe and that a human tooth evolved from a fish's scale, but they don't know if truth exists. They don't know if anything is true, and they don't even know if they exist. And that's where their worldview of atheism brings them to the place of absolute confusion.
That's right. We continually pray for those people for their salvation and always bring it back to that point of the cross. Mm. And that's why we do what we do.
Mm-hmm. Now, how about BC Tours? You know, whenever we do a story about an animal rights group, we ask people in the audience to, that day, do their best to eat an extra animal, maybe a shrimp or something. But the Nightline ABC program took a shot at you guys, so let's use it as an opportunity to promote biblically correct tours right now on the air. Rusty Carter, if there's somebody listening who would like to get a tour, and we had a call at the studio about 10 days ago, someone asked, hey, we want to get one of those Bible tours of the museum and of Dinosaur Ridge up at I-70 and C-470. How do we get one? And we told them about biblically correct tours. But
sure.
What phone number can someone in the audience call if they'd like for their Bible study group, their church, their family, to arrange a tour of the museum or some other local tour?
Sure, I'll give you both a phone number and a web address. The phone number is 303-978-9615.
All right.
And the web address is bctours.org.
Okay, so bctours.org, bctours, T-O-U-R-S.org, or 303-978-9615. Rusty Carter, we've been doing some shows now for going on a year, not every Friday, but often we do what we call Real Science Friday. We have the webmaster of the Creation Research Society on the program, Fred Williams. Lord willing, we'll be doing another show a week from tomorrow.
Sure.
But we go through the technical journals and the creation magazines that are put out by the Christian community, and the science, the arguments against evolution, the evidence, it is exciting. And one of the things, a couple books written by a reporter for the Washington Times, a couple changes in the dynamics of the debate. It's pointed out that 20 years ago, the Christians were on the defensive, and what's happened now is, in a broad sense, the evolutionists are on the defensive, and they're being challenged with 1,000 arguments from science showing that their evidence doesn't hold up, that the theory of Darwinism and natural selection, mutation causing a new species to arise, that argument is falling apart, and so now the evolutionists are on the defensive.
Yeah, that's great. That's what we want to see happen, is Christians going into the places of evolution, like the museums and the public schools, and start challenging and start asking good questions.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Rusty, I want to thank you so much for joining us after last night. That must have been a bit tough, but hey, ultimately, it's approval of the Lord that counts and not of the godless media.
That's right. Thanks for the opportunity to talk with you, Bob, and I'll be looking forward to next time.
All right. God bless you, Rusty.
All right. Thanks.
Appreciate that. Rusty Carter and Bill Jack of BC Tours, Biblically Correct Tours. And the museum is open to the public. And so, as is common with museums around the country, individuals could come and give others a tour of the museum. And so when we were there, we must have had, I'd say, at least 50 people. We had to break up into two groups and two different tour leaders. And they charge. It's a business. It's what they do. Rusty Carter and Bill Jack, they charge. And the cost, I think it's determined by the size of the group. But, you know, you pay for your admission to the museum. Or, for example, if you get a tour of Dinosaur Ridge, that's free. And then you pay so much ahead for the tour guide. And it's very worthwhile, really enjoyable for adults and children. bctours.org, 303-978-9615. Our phone number here at Bob and Yurt Live, if you think you have the evidence that human beings have evolved from animals, or that any major function has evolved, I'd like to hear your argument, your defense, your reason to believe that we have evolved from animals, that flight has evolved from creatures that did not have flight, that vertebrae's backbones evolved from creatures that were invertebrates. I mean, think of the transitional forms that there should be, right? How many stages to go from no skeleton to an exoskeleton, from an invertebrate to a vertebrate. You could imagine structurally there'd have to be thousands upon thousands of intermediary stages where it's all coming together bit by bit. And the weird thing is there are no fossils of those intermediary stages. There are none. What are the, where are the hundreds of thousands of species that are in the intermediate stage between invertebrate and vertebrate? How many species should there be between sighted and no sight? Between echolocation and no echolocation? Sonar and no sonar? Between having legs and not having legs? So how about limbs that were arms or legs that become wings? Now, if it's survival of the fittest, how long is it a bad limb before it's a good wing? Right? How long is it a bad arm or a bad leg before it becomes a good wing that you could fly around with? And these are accidental, random mutations that are selected by nature, supposedly, because they improve your chance of survival. So you're some kind of a rodent that runs around and you use your four limbs for running and clawing and jumping. And then one of your limbs starts, the bones, the skeleton starts to hollow out because you can't fly unless your bones are hollow because your skeleton has to be lighter. And you need completely different kinds of muscles. And instead of skin or scales or hair, you need feathers, so they have to grow. So you can imagine that there might be 10,000 intermediary stages where some creature is trying to run away from a predator and he's dragging a wing that doesn't work. He's dragging his wings that don't work. They don't fly. They have feathers, but the feathers only have the stems and they don't have the feathery parts. It's just not quite working. And he has to get through 5,000 of those stages through 5,000 generations? No, you'd only have a change in the proper direction once every, 100 generations by accident. He's got to get through 50,000 generations with a lousy wing, with a limb that doesn't, it's not a leg, it's not an arm, it's not a wing. I mean, this is absurdity, and people believe utter absurdity with a dearth of evidence, a lack of evidence that these things have happened. And they believe it with a great zeal and passion. And why do they believe it? Why? Because it's their hope that there is no God. They have a great hope that there is no God. And even the evolutionists who believe in God, they like to keep God at arm's length, very far away from us. So, there might have been a God who made the Big Bang, which in and of itself, what's your evidence for the Big Bang? That an explosion produced all the order in the universe. So there might be a God, but he's far enough away that he has nothing to do or say about my life. And I can do what I want to do with no fear of any intervention or any demands by a creator God. It's just that that's not true. And so to find that comfort zone where people can reject the overwhelming evidence that there is a designer, a creator, to blow off all that evidence, they will believe a lie. And the bigger the lie, often the more depth of commitment people will put in that lie. And so that's the state that we're at, and that's ABC News and Nightline, sadly, mocking our friends over at Biblically Correct Tours BC Tours, Rusty Carter and Bill Jack. So please pray for them that they can get through this. It's a hard time. You feel like the whole world is laughing at you. And of course, the Bible says that God will mock the wicked. And you know, the one who gets the laugh, the last laugh, last laughs best. And so it's a tragedy. It's a great tragedy. Hey, American Life League, they've come out with their latest magazine and their newsletter. We got both in the mail. This is Judy Brown's group out of Virginia. And I got to tell you, it's so exciting. Their ALL news, about a 10-page newsletter. On page two, they have seven headlines of pro-life news from around the country. Five of the seven have to do with Colorado pro-lifers fighting against child killing. Five of the seven headlines. And then their beautiful Celebrate Life glossy magazine. Five pages of what's going on in Colorado. Christy Burton putting faith into action, Colorado's personhood effort, with photographs in here of Keith Mason, Will Duffy, Ken Scott. Wow, it's just extraordinary. Joe Riccobono, president of Colorado Right to Life. And then a two-page article by one of our dear friends, John Archibald, who's a founder of National Right to Life, and he resigned in protest when they became secular humanist and moral relativist. And so, boy, is there a lot going on in Colorado, but you know what? We need your help. Can you help us get personhood on the ballot in November? We need your help. If you'd like to help, please come on out and hear Judy Brown at a fundraising dinner April 4th in Denver, April 5th in Colorado Springs. Just call Colorado Right to Life, 303-753-9394. Now, on Tuesday at 2 o'clock in Arvada, Maranatha Christian Center has their groundbreaking for a student center. I'll be there 2 o'clock Tuesday. I hope to see you there at Maranatha.